You know, following the journey of women's soccer here has been really fascinating. We started kind of right at the beginning. And of course, the big question is, was Dallas really ready to support a women's soccer team, professional soccer team, all of its own? I think the answer is a fairly resounding yes, but the man who really knows it is Jim Neal. He's chief executive officer and head of the family organization that owns Dallas Trinity FC and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Good to see you. Good to be with you, Dave.
So you're on television. I mean, the Peacock. I see you've got name stars that people know. You get 5,000 or 6,000 people out to Fair Park. Are you happy?
You know, it's interesting. I've been asked that question, and I think that the good and bad nature of our family is we have lofty goals, and we set some fairly high goals for the year. And so we tend never to be satisfied. And I think that one of the things that I did is I pivoted about midway through our season. And instead of having strict numerical goals on all the different metrics, what I said was, for the second half of the season, I just want to see improvement on all of the metrics. So wherever we got to on a metric midway through, rather than having people be depressed that we weren't going to hit the goal that we thought we wanted to at the beginning of the year, we just wanted to see improvement from January through June and the second half of our season. And so in that regard, I'd say we were very happy because we did accomplish that. And I think we're, you know, we have an upward trajectory and we have a lot of work in front of us. But on balance, it's not unlike what happened to us on the soccer side of the field. We went into a swoon in the spring. We were concerned we weren't going to make the playoffs. It looked like we might not, and we were able to make the playoffs. Then we were hopeful that we'd win it all. We fell short of that. So after some reflection, I would say that we were pleased with where we ended up. We would have liked to have done better, and the same is true on the business side.
You know, I think you've answered really the dominant question I had, which is, are you going to do this again? You know, will you come back? Because we've seen a lot of these startups and it's just, geez, it's just not going to work. But the fact is, I hear the enthusiasm, I hear the optimism in. So tell me about your peers. Is this league holding together? Are the teams all coming back together, do you think?
Yeah, the expectation right now is that everybody will be back. Where the league is actually expanding and adding Jacksonville. So we'll be 9 teams in the next season. And we actually have probably 3 to 5 other cities or organizations in other cities that have indicated interest to come into the league. And quite a few of them, or a couple of them, would have come in this year, except their venues weren't prepared. And the venue ends up being such a critical part of being able to play. So we're going to be at 9 teams for this next season that comes up. And then we'll be a minimum of 10 teams the following year, but I suspect possibly even 11 or 12.
Wow.
So the league looks to be in pretty good shape.
And the timing seems to be absolutely perfect. I mean, the ascendancy of women's sports, maybe it started with women's Olympic soccer or something, but gosh, I noticed the ratings for women's softball, you know, World Series the other day were astounding, and everybody's excited about the Wings. This seems like a really good time to be doing this.
There's no question that the tailwinds for women's sports are very strong. I think there's a couple of things. Obviously, you can't really understate the Caitlin Clark factor.
Really?
She just energized, I think, the number of eyeballs that really wanted to turn on the TV and see women's teams compete, and that became, she accelerated the process, I think. But you're exactly right. We've seen big crowds for volleyball, for softball, for the WNBA. The WNBA is exploding. The other thing I would point out is that for us, thankfully, soccer, which is, as you know, is sort of the world sport, right?
Sure.
So it's struggled over the last 40 or 50 years to become a major sport in the United States, but it has grown, I think, a little bit on a roller coaster. It'll take off and then it dips and it goes up and down. And it is accelerating throughout the world right now. And so what happens is that not only is women's sports, but I think that the sport that is growing the fastest in the world right now is women's soccer. And so we're very, very happy to be a part of that. We're thrilled that Dallas is going to be such a huge part of the 2026 World Cup, and that we're confident that after Monica Paul and her great people at the Dallas Sports Commission do a phenomenal job, that Dallas will be a big part, hopefully, of the 2031 Women's World Cup, and that those two things combined will really help our franchise thrive.
I assume you guys are getting out to the schools around the area to get the kids, the women's, you know, athletes, women athletes out there to come out and see your product and let that serve as, you know, sort of a goal.
We have targeted all of the academies, all the youth programs throughout the Metroplex. We've targeted many schools. We're, we put on coaches clinics for the YMCA, for the DISD. We're when you're a startup, you have to be careful that you don't spread yourself too thin and try to do too many things. And that's been a little bit of our juggling act, is like, we'd like to go to all the tournaments and all the schools, but we have to be mindful of what we can do and do well. But there's no question that we've been in the community. And the other thing that's really neat about this particular league, and I don't know if you've noticed it, David, but because we're permitted to have academy players play for our team, there's, I think, an extra connection of our team to the youth community. So, because we've had several academy players, the most noteworthy...
Explain an academy player. Because all of a sudden you see the player that you see on the field of the Cotton Bowl has got to turn around and go play for college.
That's exactly right. So what's permitted is prior to getting into college... we are allowed to sign an academy player, which is basically a high school player, typically 16, 17-year-old player. They're permitted to train with us, and they're actually permitted to play in a game. We can cover their expenses, but we cannot pay them a salary. So they maintain their amateur status and their ability to go to college. Once they go to college, they're no longer eligible to play for us. And if they get paid, they're no longer eligible to go to college. But we've had a few notable players that have done that. And in fact, we had one that was named the young player of the league, Celie Strawn, and is playing on the under 20 national team. So wow. In addition to playing for her academy, she's playing for us. And then she's playing for the U.S. women's national team under 20. So it's it helps to solidify that connection to the...
Yeah, it's also genius. I don't know who came up with it. I think it's a really cool idea. So now what are we going to do different? You've talked about changing your metrics, but what else? Marketing. Tell me about the venue. I mean, 5,000 or 6,000 really enthusiastic people ringing bells and hollering is great, but boy, when you're surrounded by 90,000 empty seats, it's tough.
It's very tough. And I will tell you, and it sounds sort of self-serving, there's no question that we'd love to have 15 or 20,000 fans in the Cotton Bowl. I think that to stay in the Cotton Bowl long-term, you'd need to get to at least a stable 15,000 plus fans. Because the good news is that you stay in the lower bowl and you put the people together. But I will also tell you that if you talk to the fans that come to the game, and we get 5,000 or 6,000 fans, and you're in that crowd because we seat them all together, when you're in the crowd, it feels crowded. Now, you know that the stadium is effectively mostly empty, but you're watching the game. There's a lot of noise in the crowd. There's a lot of, a soccer crowd is a lot different than it's not sort of the PA noise that you get in some of the other major sports. It's the crowd itself. With the drums and the music, but there's no question that we either need to grow the fan base significantly, or we need to find a more soccer-specific size stadium. But I'll step back, because our first priority before that is to get a stabilized, world-class, professional-caliber training facility. Which
well, and that I noticed with great interest this facility, $5.5 million in design over on Cockrell Hill, that the Dallas City Council approved. But of course, everything was put in context of the Dallas Wings facility. But the fact is, it's what, a couple of hundred acres with four soccer fields, and you're going to be there too.
So we have the city, and we have we're talking about it. There's not a formal commitment yet for us to go there. We would like to go there. The city would like us to go there. But we have to. The Wings just cut their deal. I mean, they actually cut their deal a while ago, and this was affirmation of when they cut their deal a while ago, it was to assure that they would have a practice facility, but it wasn't identified and it wasn't designed. So this was affirmation of the design and the location for the Wings. And we had actually been talking to the city about the Joey Gorgeous's Park, which is where they're going to go, even before that it was on the radar for the Wings. So we are in discussions with them now about the kind of facility that we would build. And we need probably three soccer fields for our team. The great news about that park is there's the ability to build 20 or 30 other soccer fields that would be available for the community. Yeah. And we're talking about whether or not the city would utilize us to manage that property and get involved in that. So there's a bunch of moving parts there, but there's no question that the concept of combining us and the Wings and having a focal point for a women's professional ecosystem is really exciting. And we're hopeful that we'll get to a point where maybe we can have the kind of announcement that the Wings had yesterday and talk about a facility as well.
Sounds like it's good to have a real estate guy, CEO of Churchill Capital, right at a sports titan. One last quick question. So this is really a family affair. I mean, it's you and your kids and your wife and everybody's involved in this thing. Are all of you still speaking to each other?
I have to be careful how I answer that question, okay? So the answer is, you've hit the nail on the head. We love each other. I'm delighted that my kids are all extremely talented, but there's no question that there's sibling tension from time to time that comes up, and hopefully net healthy tension. But yes, you have the ebbs and flows of the family familiarity. But the good news is they're really good at what they do, and it's been a thrill working with them. And I've been, obviously, I'm a proud father, but I've been impressed with how good a job they've done. I know you're getting ready to wrap up. I want to mention one thing on the marketing side that's very, very important and new to us before we go, which is that there'll be a major announcement on this, I think, in the next week or two. We've just secured a game during the state fair at the Cotton Bowl.
I was going to ask you about that because that seemed like such a natural. How cool.
So we are going to play on October 18th, which is the last Saturday of the state fair, and we are going to play against a friendly game against a team from the Women's Mexican League, which we think is going to be extremely valuable to bring to Dallas. And during Hispanic Heritage Month, the last weekend of the fair, there'll be a ton of people out there. The really neat thing is that you're going to be able to buy a ticket for the game, which is the same price as the fair ticket. It will get you into the fair and into the game as long as you buy the ticket from Dallas Trinity FC.
You're not just a real estate guy. You are a marketing guy. I can hear it. And also, I can hear your voice that you really enjoyed it. Jim Neal, co-founder, I guess, of the Dallas Trinity FC. We look forward to following the progress. Congratulations on a good season.
Thank you for your time, and it's great to talk to you.
Thanks. For more of a conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.